Little relief coming by the weekend. We'll take that. We want to welcome into the KPOY Morning News right here in the studios with us.
Yeah.
Max Steiner.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Well, Max, thanks for having me on.
I know we've been trying for weeks and months to get you in here, and finally your schedule and our schedule kind of jived, and here we go. So, first of all, thanks for coming in.
Oh, absolutely.
And then I got to admit, and Mike and I were kind of talking, that we were kind of going, who is this guy? Who is Max Steiner? So we want to give you an opportunity to kind of let folks know who you are, your background. First of all, thank you for your service. I know you spent time in Iraq defending us in the military, so thank you for that.
Yeah, so, I mean, so right, us, so.
So in a nutshell, who is Max?
The four-line pitch is combat veteran, moderate Democrat. And then, you know, a little longer one is, you know, I'm a guy that really wants to focus on forest fires. I think that's the biggest issue in our district right now. And I think it's something that we really haven't seen a lot of progress on in the last 10 years. My brother lost his house to the car fire in Reading 4 years ago. And I really want to make sure that people don't go through that again. Obviously, we lost Paradise, you know, a lot worse, right? So at least my brother kept his job, even if he lost his house, whereas Paradise was the whole town. But, you know, we really need to be aware that, you know, our forests are a tinderbox, and we need to really go back to thinning. We need to swing that pendulum back a little towards the lumber side, so we can drive down that biomass in the woods, reduce fire risk, and reintroduce prescribed fire safely and appropriately, while hiring enough forest firefighters to suppress fires when they happen.
You know, and a lot of talk is getting the Federal Forest Service and CAL FIRE to work together.
Yeah, so
they
both
have different ways of battling the fires, as we've all known.
Yeah, as someone who was in the Army, right, working with Marines is always complicated. Whenever you get two organizations that think they know everything working side by side, you will have this, you know, friction. But it's true. You know, CAL FIRE is much more resource now than they were even 5 years ago. Forest Service is lagging. Part of this is just a funding issue. California has been rich, and we have been throwing money at CAL FIRE, right? So for everyone listening, CAL FIRE is state, and Forest Service is federal. And that federal money just hasn't been there. So that's part of it, is a funding gap. But there's also a cultural component, right? So Forest Service sees itself as like stewards of the forest, and CAL FIRE is like, we are going to be fire suppression. And that wasn't always the case. You know, it was almost flipped 20, 30 years ago. You talk to old, you know, smoke jumpers or forest firefighters, and they're like, yeah, it used to be CAL FIRE that was really cautious, that was really open to letting a fire get managed, to let it burn until it threatened the structure. And now it's gone to Forest Service. So partly this is going to be a cultural change, but partly this is a funding issue, right? The fires have just gotten so out of control that Forest Service can't keep up. In 1980, Forest Service budget, 25% went to fire, and the budget stayed basically the same, and once you adjust for inflation, and now it's 2/3. So fire is just consuming, you know, a bigger and bigger part of the Forest Service budget, and they just can't keep up.
Max, what made you want to take this on? Because the Republican Party and Doug LaMalfa is a brand here in Northern California. Farmers very comfortable with him. Water interests very comfortable with him. What makes you the choice to replace him?
Yeah, I don't want to come on your show and just bash Doug, although obviously I've got a lot of disagreements with him. It's why I'm running against him. But the real answer is that we've had 10 years. I don't think he's delivered as much as he could have, and I think I can do a better job. You know, I think he's getting a little complacent. I think that happens to a lot of politicians. They just kind of settle into a groove in Washington, and it's good for voters to hold them to account. So the real answer, though, right, is January 6th. So I saw that, you know, I saw Doug vote against certifying a free and fair election, and I knew that that was inappropriate, and so I decided to run. I will be honest, I wasn't a Democrat before January 6th. I was an independent. You know, I voted for Democrats and Republicans, just kind of a free agent. But after that, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm a Democrat now. So that day was very traumatic for me, just given my military background. I come out of Iraq where every election there would be violence in the streets, and I do not want to see that here.
You got something else, Mike?
Well, I read your website, MaxSteinerForCongress.com, and you do focus on a lot of your military background and how Doug doesn't have that military background and how he's been in office for all these years. I mean, you said you're not going to bash him, but I'll kind of read what you have on your website. You said Doug's sheltered life as heir to his family rice farm and 20-year career as a do-nothing politician have left him without an ounce of patriotism and with nothing but contempt for hardworking voters of the district. That's pretty harsh. That's going at him.
Oh, yeah. I want to make clear, you know, I didn't come on the radio to bash him because I know Scott, you know, I don't want to get Scott too much flack. I really dislike Doug. Yeah, so just in case the voters are confused, no, I do not like Doug. I think he is a coward. I think he lied on January 6th. He lied to the district. He lied to our country, and he does not belong in Washington. And yeah, my website does not hold back because politics is, you know, about contrast. It is about calling out the truth when you see it. And I don't think Doug has an ounce of integrity left in him.
Let's get back to some of the issues, boys. Mr. Baca. How about water? Water's big. Water storage. Look, we're in 3 year of a extreme drought now, third year going. And they say it's going to continue through the winter. We just had a report this morning.
Yeah.
Talk about your vision for how we do the water.
The big vision is you need to build more storage, right? So you need to build more dams, and then you need to reallocate kind of how you use water in the district. So right now, as a state, we use about 50% of water for environmental purposes, right? So rivers, right? We use about 40% for agriculture, and we use about 10% for cities, lawns, golf courses, kind of urban non-agricultural use. So we can get a lot more water for ag and cities if you slightly reduce the amount of water for environmental purposes. So that's great. There's a lot of buffer there. You need to be appropriate when you do it. But you can look at last year when we were flushing water down the Sacramento in November and December, and now we're out of water, right? So I think Bureau of Reclamation, I think DWR, Bureau of Reclamation is federal, DWR, Department of Water Resources is state. You know, they made a mistake in the end of the summer or in the end of the winter. When they thought that they were going to have a lot of water to play with, and they used a lot of it for environmental benefits. And you need to balance these things. You need to balance the environment with the farmers. You need to balance the environment with the cities. California depends on our water. And if we use it poorly, if we prioritize the wrong things, we can really hurt ourselves economically. The second big thing is dams, right? So I come from a family like my grandfather's brother was deputy director of DWR here in California. Then he went to Arizona, was head of their DWR. He built the Central Arizona Project, which brought water from the Colorado to Phoenix. So I come from a family that kind of had this exposure to water infrastructure and this idea in the 60s and 70s that we were going to build water and, you know, we were going to build dams, we're going to build pipes, we're going to build canals, and we're going to move water from where we have it to where we need it. And we really moved away from that in the 80s. So, I am a Democrat. I do believe in big government spending to solve problems, but I'm not an environmentalist Democrat. I think that there are a lot of Democrats who want to keep our North State as some sort of wilderness or national park. And frankly, we have 40 million people in this state. We have a thriving agricultural industry, and we have enough water if we capture it when we can and then move it and use it appropriately after we do that. So
a lot of Republicans are going to say, hey, there's a Democrat in office and inflation is as bad as it's been since the early 80s or late 70s with Jimmy Carter. What's your response and what are some policies that could help with this crippling inflation that we're all feeling with the prices going up and everything else remaining stagnant?
Yeah, so inflation is a problem. It's mostly driven by energy prices because energy trickles out to everything else in the economy. And as someone who drives, from Modoc to Yuba City, our district is the size of West Virginia. Yeah, it hurts because I fill at the pump a lot. I put 30,000 miles on my car so far. And the answer there is that this is a worldwide phenomenon. I don't think the president has much to do with it. He made some choices, right, that I disagree with strongly. I don't think he should have killed Keystone XL, which was a pipeline. It didn't exist yet, right? A lot of people think like, oh, he turned it off. It's like, no, he just made sure it wasn't built. Still the wrong decision, but different. The United States, because this is an energy inflation, right? The war in Russia, we cut off Russian gas. The United States, we used to be the arsenal of democracy. And honestly, we should be the wellhead of democracy here. We should be producing oil for the rest of the world because oil as you know, Europe is dependent on us now, and oil produced in Russia, oil produced in Iran, oil produced in Venezuela, those are not friendly states. So energy security is a national security issue. And I strongly disagree with a lot of Democrats who think, hey, we'll just prioritize climate at the expense of everything else. And that's wrong. You know, national security comes first. Climate's important, sure. But if we turn off the oil, you know, like, we will kill ourselves as an economy. We'll, you know, that indirectly led to a lot of this inflation. You know, so I do want to give you an answer, right? I think this kind of works itself out, right? Month-to-month inflation has been flat since June. This looks like it's a yearly hit just from last year to now. You know, it's 9% higher, but month-to-month is now zero. So it looks like we had this bulge of price increases, and it's kind of like gone away. So I know everyone's hurting, and it's definitely not good, but you know, it looks like the it's not increasing, right? It's not going out of control.
When you look at previous elections, especially with Audrey Denny, she did well in Chico. She did well in more, you know, in Chico and some of the bigger cities. Where she lost was in rural areas. What is your plan to siphon some of those voters to make Max Steiner the choice instead of Doug LaMalfa? Because he does really, really well in these ultra rural areas of this vast first district.
Yeah. So you can't win the first district with city votes. That's something Audrey Denny showed. This is not a typical California district. But the real answer there is you need to get out there. You need to talk to voters. So we've been to every county fair, you know, in the state, except Lassen, where I had my 2-week Army training. Sorry, Lassen. But, you know, we were at the Intermountain Fair yesterday in Eastern Shasta. So 4 days, Thursday through Sunday, and then down into Anderson, which is south of Redding, for Labor Day. So we're really trying to get out and meet people, right? And it is a big district. It is hard to do that. But I'm also taking a slightly different message, right? So Audrey Denny was endorsed by Bernie Sanders. She was slightly, you know, she's on the progressive side of the Democratic Party. Democratic Party is a big tent, and I'm definitely not on that part of the tent. I'm a moderate. You know, I have a lot of semi-conservative views, especially on lumber and water. And I think that this district is really ready for a change.
You're pro-gun.
I am pro-gun. Yeah, that's actually the one that's hurting me in Chico. You know, it's hard to be a pro-gun Democrat in Chico. But I am. You know, I use a gun in my Army Reserves. I think that if you want to buy an AR-15, you should be able to do it. I am a big supporter of strong background checks. But the answer to gun violence is not by restricting hardware. It's by restricting the people who have access to that hardware. And that is an answer that, you know, frankly, a lot of Democrats don't want to hear. But real political leadership involves telling your side when you disagree with them and why. And you know, hopefully you don't piss them so off so much they don't vote for you. So
let me ask you, you're going around, you're stumping all over the district. When you're meeting people and they're coming up and meeting you, what are you hearing from them that maybe the issues that they're bringing to the table that you could address?
Yeah, so everyone is concerned about fire.
Right.
A lot of people are concerned about gas prices. We've kind of talked about both of those.
Right.
The last issue that a lot of people bring up, right, the top three, well, I guess there's water too, but that's really for big farmers. A lot of normal voters, as long as the taps are on, they're fine. It's a bigger issue in rural areas like Tehama, Western Butte, where wells are starting to go dry. But frankly, yeah, I think a lot of people are sleeping on water. And I just want to tell every listener here, water is a very important issue in this state. In this part of the state. So the issue that we haven't talked about yet is homelessness. And that is something that, one, you know, it's not really a federal issue. It's mostly county and state. But two, the federal component there is veterans. And I really think that we as a country owe it to our veterans to make sure that they're not homeless on the streets. So, you know, a lot of homeless people have drug problems, have mental health problems that kind of preclude them being able to go to a VA home. And, you know, the VA, I think, should really be opening up mental health institutions, right? You can call them asylum, you can call them mental health institution, the whatever PC term you want. But we as a VA need to be ready to treat these veterans who are, you know, are mentally broken, and because we as a nation mentally broke them. And we're going to see this really increase as a problem over the next 10 years as Vietnam veterans start to lose their spouses. I've talked to a lot of veterans, you know, come up there and they're like, hey, you know, I'm so happy to be voting for a veteran, right? I haven't had a chance to vote for a veteran in 20 years in the North State, right? Because, you know, LaMalfa wasn't, Herger wasn't, none of the Democrats that challenged him were. We just kind of moved away from military service as a country. Whatever. That's a side issue. But I had these people talk to me, and, you know, in many of their cases, you know, their wife is there with them. Their wife is helping them around. And it's clear that their wife is going to be the one paying the bills, making sure the house doesn't get foreclosed on, and making sure that their water and power stays on. So we really need to be aware and forward-looking on the veteran population, that as these Vietnam veterans lose their spouses, we will need to increasingly treat them and treat the effects of that loss. So I really do care about veterans. I don't want to be just waxing.
No, you're not waxing. And let me tell you, even this new generation, your generation, Max, that went and served during these last conflicts. I mean, 10, 20 years down the road, these guys, they need help now. As you know, I'm sure a lot of the people who served with you.
Yeah, I have a few guys that...
I have a nephew, and he was getting no help at all, VA,
right,
when he came home. And I'm just like, it's a black eye on the American culture that we don't take care of our vets.
Right. Yeah, and I think a lot of it is that not many people serve anymore, right? I mean, I'm so glad that you have relatives that serve. I'm the only one in my extended family.
I was too big of a pussy to do it, so pardon my French, but it's true.
But it's true.
A wussy. Sorry.
For all you listeners out there, if you have kids, if you're a kid, you know, if you're under age 35, you know, the Army's recruiting. We are hurting as a military. I'm a first sergeant now in the Army Reserves, right? And so my reserve unit, we're at basically 50% strength, and that's really bad. You know, and the Army's not hitting its recruiting quota this year for the first time. You know, we are struggling as a nation to fulfill our responsibility for military service. And, you know, I know I don't want to come across as judgmental. Everyone's got their choices or their attributes. But
it's true.
Yeah, you know,
I got to look in the mirror and say it's true.
We as a nation need to realize that, you know, military service is a country without an army, a country without people willing to defend. It is not a country, right? It's just a target. And so I'm really worried about the long-term stability of the United States if we keep on having this inability to recruit people to risk their life for it.
All right, listen, can you stick around just a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
All right, Max Steiner is with us. He's running for District 1 here in California for Congress. We're going to take a fast break. We'll come back. We'll have more with Max straight ahead, the KPAY Morning. So let's kind of wind things up here and just say your bullet points. What are the biggest things that you're looking at that we really need to know going to November that you're standing behind and that you're supporting?
Right. So, well, again, thank you for having me on. So I encourage everyone to go check out my website. It's maxsteinerforcongress.com. So if you want to hear a longer answer, well, it's there. And the second thing is, what do I really want to focus on? Policy. It's forestry. It's water. Kind of talked about that earlier in the program. And then why do I want to earn your vote? Well, because I'm new. You know, I fought for this country in Iraq. I want to fight for you in Washington. If you want to have some change in Washington, you know, the definition of political insanity is keep voting for the same people and expecting something to change. So I think it's good, you know, to have politicians that change over. 10 years is a long time. Doug's been there a while. And I think it'd be good for this district to have a new perspective on things in Washington, to have someone who will go there and bring a different idea and, you know, fight for this district in the same way. So, you know, I think we've also had this extreme polarization in politics, and I don't think that's healthy. We have far left politicians. We have far right politicians. I really think we need to go back to the middle. You know, I'm a Kennedy Democrat, and, you know, like, I've got some conservative viewpoints, but I really do care about this country. I care about this district. I'm a fifth generation Californian. And I want to make, you know, this district safe for people so they're not worried about fires taking away their homes or taking away their communities.
Are you and Doug going to have a debate?
Well, so
good
Doug.
Good question.
Doug refused to debate in the primary, and he has so far not confirmed a debate in the general. So I'm open to a debate. I've participated in a primary debate with the other primary candidates. There was another Republican and an independent. So we all had a debate, but Doug did not. And so far, Doug is not confirmed. I think that is, you know, thank you for the softball. I'm not sure if it was intentional. I think it's really important for politicians to be able to talk to each other and to debate each other on their views. And if Doug believes in his policies, you know, he should have the backbone to stand up and defend them on stage, right? Defend them to open questions instead of just putting out a couple TV ads and hoping that he coasts through with an R next to his name. I think it's taking the voters for granted to refuse to even debate his opponent.
Max Steiner, we appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Max.
All right, maybe we can kind of push for that debate.
Yeah.
we'll be glad to host it.
I'll hop on,
we'll
absolutely.
Be glad to host it. All right, 8:25.
I know Doug's not going to want me there.
No. Maybe you'll be one of the moderators.
He's not going to be happy with me there.
Yeah.
I mean, last time we was on
Max
there,
Steiner for Congress.com.
That's right.
Max, again, thank you for your service.
Thank you, everyone. I hope everyone has a good morning.